spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown.
Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows from the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will
Beloved, what a day to come to worship. Here we are in the second week of Epiphany. We recognize the light of the world has come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. From Psalm 29. Let's say the call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. What a wonderful way to start worship. The light shines in the deepest night, and the night has not overcome it. Please pray with me. Holy God, you sent your Son to be baptized among sinners, to seek and save the lost. May we who have been baptized in his name never turn away from the world, but reach out in love to rescue the wayward by the mercy of Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Friends, in faith, let's come to the throne of grace, seeking God's mercy. Would you pray the prayer of confession with me? Merciful God, in baptism you promise forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that we remain preoccupied with ourselves, separated from sisters and brothers in Christ. We cling to destructive habits, hold grudges, and show reluctance to welcome one another. We allow the past to hold us hostage. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from sin. Remind us of the promises you make in baptism, so that we may rise to new life and live together in grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, having asked God to forgive us when we fall short, we are freed, truly freed, to move forward. God's love for us is huge. His grace is immense. We are forgiven. We now need to lay down the burdens that we carried. They no longer belong to us. We are covered in God's grace. Friends, we are free to move forward as beloved children of God. And wherever you are watching this today, I'd ask you to pass a sign of peace to someone that might be with you or someone that is distant from you. The peace of Christ be always with you.
Hello, everyone. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. The proclamation of John the Baptist. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, friends. I have the privilege to speak to you today about this reading from Matthew. We're going to be spending some time in Matthew over the next few weeks, and I hope you'll join us for the services and the homilies that come from the book of Matthew. Philip Yancey notes that Joseph Ernst Renan, a French religious skeptic, wrote in his 1893, yes, that's 1893 book, The Life of Jesus, that the Gospel of Matthew is the most important book of Christendom, the most important book that has ever been written. Strong words. Matthew takes a distinctly different approach to the story of Jesus when compared to the other gospel writers. He uses his tax collector mentality to sort, to group things. He groups Jesus' birth and the story around that and the flight to Egypt. He groups Jesus' early life and then his work and then his death. He sort of does it the way he may have tabulated information about taxes he collected. He's definitely not one of the chronological writers like the others. Before we step toward the Jordan, would you pray with me? Lord God, give us ears, hearts, and minds to hear your message for us today. Amen. Here we are, standing on the banks of the River Jordan alongside John the Baptist. The waters of the river move by steadily, ancient, life-giving, symbolic. This is the river the Israelites crossed after 40 years of wandering in the desert. Look around. There are many people at the river's edge waiting to be baptized by John. People from all walks of life. They come forward for baptism, for renewal, for a fresh start with God. And then into that crowd steps Jesus. The story of Jesus' baptism is a familiar one to many of us. It's part of the lectionary every year. It's an important passage. For me, it always seems fresh and new because it touches something at the heart of our faith. It speaks to who God is, who Jesus is, the role of the Spirit, and who we are to God. When it's Jesus' turn to be baptized by his cousin John, John protests, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John recognizes that this is all backwards. There seems to be some initial confusion. There's dialogue. Baptism for John was a sign of renewal, repentance, a turning away from sin, a washing clean. But Jesus isn't someone who needs cleansing. He hasn't come to confess wrongdoing or to start over, to change his ways. Yet Jesus steps into the Jordan. In this moment, Jesus has chosen humility. He's chosen solidarity over superiority. He identifies fully with humanity, with our strugglings, with our failings, and our need for grace. This is the very first public act of Jesus' ministry. Before any miracles, before any sermons, before calling his disciples, he steps into the muddy waters of the River Jordan, into the muddy waters of human life. This is Emmanuel, God with us. He is not distant. He is not lofty. He is humble. He is immersed in our world, shoulder to shoulder with us. After Jesus comes up from the water, Matthew tells us that the heavens were opened to him. It's a striking image. The boundary between divine and human, between heaven and earth. It isn't closed off. It isn't guarded. It opens. We're meant to see that in Jesus, heaven is near. The distance we may feel between ourselves and God is not as great as we might think. Then the Spirit of God descends like a dove, gentle and peaceful, not in power or violence, but in tenderness. God's presence comes not as thunder, but as a quiet assurance. And then there's the voice, a voice from heaven. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." For me, that word beloved is central. This moment is often described as Jesus' commissioning, and in some ways, I'm sure it is, but notice something crucial. Jesus has not done anything yet. No sermons, no healings, no teachings, no cross, no resurrection. Before all of that, God speaks, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." God's affirmation of Jesus comes before the accomplishment of anything in his life. This is one of the most radical and healing messages, in my view, in Christian faith. We live in a world that tells us we must earn our worth, be productive, be successful, be useful, impressive, strong. But here, at the very start of Jesus' ministry, God says, "You are beloved." Full stop. Not because of what Jesus will do, not because of what Jesus will achieve, but because of who Jesus is. And I think this is such an important message for us. This is not just about Jesus. This is also about us. God's love is not earned, it's declared. It's not a reward, it's an identity. When we were baptized, or even if we were not baptized in water, but still know ourselves loved by God, this same blessing is spoken over us. "You are my beloved child, in whom I delight." In a world where worth is often measured by achievement, appearance, or success, baptism is a countercultural act. God is clear, so clear. Belonging comes before doing. Belonging comes before doing. There's another component of God's voice that has always meant a lot to me. God's clear affirmation of Jesus, spoken and heard. "My Son, in whom I am well pleased." Does this form of affirmation resonate with you? I attended a men's retreat in 1995, and on day two, the leader, a Christian psychologist from our church, posed this question after today's passage from Matthew had been read at the retreat. "How many of you," he asked, "have been told out loud by your Father, 'I love you and I am proud of you'?" Only two out of 21 men in that room had ever heard from their fathers, "I love you, I am proud of you." Very few had ever hugged or been hugged by their fathers. This was a lightning jolt for me. To be affirmed by your father or mother, whether you are a son or a daughter, it matters. God affirmed his Son Jesus. What was holding us back? Was it culture, practice, generational attitudes? Fortunately, many men are learning about the importance of affirming their children, their partners, their parents, embracing each other. It has been a slow process. Many men are learning to say, "I love you and I am proud of you." Back to baptism. What does it mean? Is it a conclusion of our faith, or is it a beginning? Does it send us out into the world as God's beloved people with a mission to embody love, justice, and peace? If we look forward in Matthew's gospel, we see clearly that for Jesus, it was a commissioning. It was time to proclaim good news to the poor, to heal the sick, to include the outcast. And for me, it seems the same. It means, for me, speaking up for fairness, caring for a neighbor, working to heal the earth, or simply showing compassion in daily life. The baptismal identity, beloved child of God, becomes the foundation for everything we do. When we remember who we are, that we are beloved by God right out of the gate, we can live out our faith with more courage. In the United Church of Canada, we often speak of baptism not as a one-time event, but as an ongoing journey. Each day, we are called to live our baptism or live into our baptism. This means remembering that God's love and grace are for everyone. It also means looking around us and seeing where God's Spirit is already at work and joining in. You've heard from many of the elders in this church, our folks from the worship team, our board members, who talk about sightings, movements of the Spirit here, in town, and among our relationships. When we affirm our baptism, we are affirming that God's voice still speaks, that the Spirit is present and is working. Working over the child baptized at the font, yes. Working over the teen struggling to find purpose, yes. Working over the adult wrestling with doubt, yes. And working over the elder nearing life's end, yes. The same words echo, "You are my beloved." So today, as we imagine ourselves beside the Jordan, perhaps you and I might pause and listen for that same voice. What would it mean for you in your life right now to trust that you are deeply, deeply loved by God? No conditions, just deeply loved. What would it look like for our church to live from that truth, to treat every person as beloved of God? Offering a listening ear, maybe, welcoming that stranger who dresses a bit differently, standing with the marginalized. It's not always convenient. Or, ironically, showing kindness to ourselves when we feel we have fallen short. And so often, we're not kind to ourselves. Friends, the baptism of Jesus is more than a historical event. It is a revelation of who God is. A God who enters the water with us, who blesses us with love from the start, who opens the heavens and says, "You belong." So as we go from here, let's remember this and live into this truth. We are God's beloved, beloved before anything else, always. And in us, God is well pleased. Amen.
Good morning, God, and everyone here. Your family at St. Stephen's United Church is gathered this morning to offer prayers for your children over here and around the world. As we gather, we acknowledge that you are here with us. You're surrounding us with your love this morning, as always. And as you promised, we are never alone. Let us pray. Most gracious and giving God, We are eternally thankful for the many blessings that you have bestowed on your family here in Oceanside and around the world. The beauty of the world you created for us to live in, it constantly amazes us, as does the complexity and beauty of each of your children, with the many talents and gifts that you have instilled in each of us, and the overflowing opportunities to live as your Son Jesus taught us to keep to live, keeping us humble but eternally grateful. Heavenly Father, as we begin a new year, we look to the many possibilities that each of us have to make life better for our families, for our church, and for our world. We ask that you share your Holy Spirit with each of us as we go about sharing your love with those around us through our small steps towards making the world a better place for all of your children. God of creation, we are constantly amazed by the diversity of the world around us, the majesty of the mountains, the diversity of sea creatures, big and small, the beauty of plants and fungus, and the awesome animals and bird species that you created to make our lives full of wonder and awe. Lord, we give thanks for all that you have created and for those of your children who go to great lengths to help the rest of us understand the need to respect each of your creatures as you have taught us to respect and love our neighbors. These individuals are truly doing your work in the constant evolution of your world. Help us to help them to know how to assist you as you are continually generating your regenerating your garden for us to walk in. Help us to hear you and to feel you as we walk by your side in the garden. Lord, as your spiritual leader, we rely on your guidance. Keep us learning and growing in your way. Lord, we ask that you continue to show us the way to find and connect with those who can teach us and lead us into a life that is full of your love and grace, so that we can share it with those close to us as well as those we might never know. As your children, we ask that you fill our beings with your love and grace and keep us continually learning so that you might look upon us and be pleased with our commitment to follow you as you were with your Son Jesus upon his baptism. Lord, it is with your guidance that your church here in Oceanside and around the world can continue to share the life that your Son Jesus Christ taught us to share with everyone, regardless of nationality, all over the world. Lord, we ask your blessing on the work of your church here at St. Stephen's United Church as we endeavor to feed the hungry and bring shelter and clothing to those in need. Lord, as we enter this new year, many of your children are cold, hungry, and in need of clothing and comfort, both here and around your world. We pray that you show us the way to bring comfort and peace to those in need, showing them your blessings of grace and love. Help us to put a smile on your face, Lord, by our actions as we share the many blessings you have given us with others. Most powerful God, we know that there is nothing that you cannot do, and there is no one whose heart and soul you cannot enter to change the course of their lives. As we hear the news of the tragic events and actions of countries and individuals around the world, we ask that you help us to understand what we might do to stop the tragedies that are happening as we pray. As well, we ask that you show those who are causing pain to your children that there is a better way to find peace and fulfillment than by injuring others. Help us to understand what you want us to do as we follow Jesus' commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, we thank you for your church here at St. Stephen's, and we know you are with us as we pray this morning. Many of us are feeling great and grateful as we start this new year, but many are not even able to be here with us because of illness of family members or themselves, and we ask that your healing mercy for each of your children who are suffering from illness, loss of family, loneliness, or just struggling to find their way. Please be with them. We pray that you show them your light and love, and let them feel your healing grace. And Lord, let them know that they are never alone, because you are always by their side. As we finish our petitions to you this morning, we pray the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, as you know, there are many ways to give to the hurting, the hungry, the lost in this world. Here at St. Stephen's, we work hard to do the same, and we thank you for your gifts that help us to do that. Would you pray with me over all the gifts given this week, that they may be used to further God's kingdom? Receive our gifts, O God. May they be used to show forth to the world the greatness of your love. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ, your perfect gift and our Saviour. Amen.
Friends, go now knowing you are God's beloved. Go with the courage to stand in solidarity, the humility to listen deeply, and the compassion to love generously. May the Spirit rest upon you, may grace surround you, and may peace guide your steps today and always. Amen.